This episode is brought to you by Brooklyn Botanic Garden, a stunning 52-acre garden in the heart of Brooklyn, open year-round. Learn more at bbg.org. This week on Meat & Three, it's our season 4 finale, and we're sharing some of our greatest kitchen joys.
Maybe most people consider making it too much work or too messy, but this is the food that's worth the work and worth the wait.
You always know where the thing is because you put it away the right way the first time.
You just sort of stand there in front, you know, with your hand on your hip and one leg outstretched, glass of wine in your hand, staring into the refrigerator going, okay, speak to me.
Oh yeah, what are you doing with the celery tonight?
I'm making a simple syrup for a gin cocktail with the celery. And I also found a recipe for a celery soup that's going to use up the celery and the potatoes and some of that dill that we still have hanging out in there.
Tune in and be inspired to find the joy in your kitchen. And don't forget to subscribe to Meat & Three wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey guys, I'm Jimmy Carboni. I'm the host here. This is the end of July, July 30th, 2019. I can't believe the summer's almost over. We've got a perfect way to kick it off. Tonight, Long Island City, Queens. Long Island City is growing. You know, there's new developments and a lot of really cool people living there. And one of the things that stands out for most of us is the number of great breweries that are there now. And our good buddy Matt Archambault, who's now the taproom manager at Fifth Hammer, put together the show as well as a special Long Island City brewery trail. So Matt, tell us about what's going on in Long Island City.
Yeah, so Long Island City in 2019 is the home of 6 breweries, all within 2 miles of each other. There are 6 breweries on a 2-mile walk. Some of them are brand new, like Iconic and also Alewife, newly brewing in their brew pub there. And then one of them, Rockaway, is the oldest brewery currently operating in Queens. So there's a big range of breweries there, right?
So that's
now.
Great. Let's go around. Everyone introduce. That's Matt from Fifth Hammer, who's also, if you know, the TV show Brewed in New York. Matt was the host. Congratulations, man.
Thanks,
dude. How many Emmys did you guys win?
We were nominated for 6 Emmys, unbelievably, and we won 2 of them. Really incredible. Awesome. Yeah.
Great, man. We were a big fan. And
new. I'm Caitlin Acosta from LIC Beer Project.
Caitlin, that's great. And your brother Dan is the owner,
he's
right?
The writer, yes.
And the brewer. So you guys have, I've known about you guys for a while. I've had the beers. Last year, you guys did the Roberta's Pizzagate beer,
sure
too.
Sure did.
And we're going to talk more about that and the beers that you're doing.
Pat Fondiller, Alewife Brewing Company.
Great. Pat, it's always great to have you on.
Always great to be on, Jim.
All right. This is kind of exciting. So it's the Long Island City Brewery Trail.
Yeah.
And so far we got Fifth Hammer here, LIC Beer Project, Alewife Brewing. Or is it Alewife Brewing or Alewife Brew Pub that is the location?
We call the restaurant the Brew Pub. And then the brewing company is the new place that we're working on right now.
Yeah. And so is there a website just for the trail?
We don't have a website or an online presence just yet, but that's all coming. Right now, the brewery trail, it consists of a postcard that has a map on it. Go to any of the 6 breweries in Long Island City. You can pick up the postcard. And on the back, there is a spot to stamp for each brewery. Go buy a beer at each one. Get it stamped. You don't have to do it in a day. You don't have to do it in a week. You can take a whole year to do it if you want. And when you get all 6 stamps, you get a branded LIC Brewery Trail.
I like that. It's very sensible. So in that trail, we've got Fifth Hammer. You mentioned Rockaway, who couldn't make it today.
Yep.
LIC Beer Project, Alewife Brew Pub. And now we got two more breweries.
I'm Mark Hurst from Big Alice Brewing Company.
And Big Alice, you guys also opened quite a while ago, didn't you?
We opened back in 2013, so we just had our 6-year anniversary.
Wow.
That's great. You guys have another tasting room in
Brooklyn. Opened on 1st of March down in Brooklyn, Industry City. So we got a big space down there for barrel aging. It's going great.
Great. And then one more brewery.
Laszlo from Iconic Brewing Company.
So you must have, I think your Bruno, who is your other partner, he was on about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And so how's it going? Did you guys actually, did you expand or put in a new tap room?
Yeah, we just opened our new tap room in Long Island City. We had a smaller tap room in Astoria for about 2 years, but 6 weeks ago we opened our new spot in Long Island City.
Great. So let's start. Everybody's been introduced. So what does it take to bring together? Obviously, you have common shared interests. You want to have more people come to Long Island City and come to your great tap rooms. But what did it take to bring everyone to the table? Because it seems like, and then even though we're all craft beer buddies, it seems that there's a lot of competition in the industry.
Yeah, there's competition. I think, honestly, the biggest challenge in putting this all together was just that we're all really busy. I mean, Iconic is expanding to two tap rooms. Big Alice recently expanded to two tap rooms. Alewife is building a full production facility and a big tap room. LIC Beer Project is building a barrel room for their cool ship stuff. I mean, Rockaway just got a canning line. We just got at Fifth Hammer two beautiful fooders with stainless steel conical fermenting like bottoms. We're all like expanding like crazy, and it's just hard to get everyone to respond and to come together.
Yeah, if I could interject really quick, I think it's something that's really interesting that's happening in Queens, because even though the natural competition of business and whatnot, there really is like a sense of community there, and everyone really does like support each other, which I find really unique.
Great. Yeah. And Pat, you've been with Alewife Brewing for about a year now, 2 years?
From the beginning.
From the beginning. And what's it like for you? For me, Alewife has been there. First, it was a bar. Now it's a brew pub. But it's had that vision of being a brewery for a while.
Yeah, that was the plan from the outset when Pat purchased the bar from Dan Lanigan, who everybody probably knows is the Lord Hobo guy. Mm-hmm. He opened Alewife. He opened Alewife. And then Pat had the vision to turn Alewife into a brewery. That was his vision from the beginning. So he purchased the bar from Dan right at the beginning.
But you guys have seen it all, because I know when it first opened, there wasn't as much business in that area. What was that, like 5 or 6 years ago?
Yeah, it was about.
It's come a long way.
Yep.
And you guys, Mark, tell me more about for you guys competition and, you know.
Yeah, we love all the other breweries in the area. So we just all work together. All the breweries in New York are friends with each other. I think Queens in particular has a great vibe, and people always talk about Brooklyn, but Queens is a place to be. It's
here, here.
Yeah. You like that, don't you, Matt?
Yeah, I do.
So what are some? Everybody, tell me one feature of your tap room. So if I'm going to go on the LIC Brewery Trail, what is a unique feature? Start with Laszlo of your tap room. That would make me want to go there. Like, why should I go to all six when I might just find two or three that I like?
Well, our space is unique in the way that we have a nice outdoor space. We have about 6 picnic tables outside, and the tap room opens up onto a pedestrian plaza space, so there's trees and seating on the street as well. And right now...
So that's pretty unique that you've got this little outdoor area.
Yeah, they're actually redoing the whole street right now. And on the street that we opened up onto, which is the pedestrian plaza there on 12th Street, they're putting in all sorts of food options. They're putting in a taco space, a coffee roaster, a pizzeria right there. So it's going to make it a really cool place to come check out.
So Iconic's going to be definitely a destination spot.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, that's great. And Matt, what about when you put this together? Tell us your inspiration for creating this trail. I mean, it's so straightforward. There's a postcard.
Yeah.
I can get a stamp at each one, and at the end I get a prize. But what made you create this?
You know what it is? You know, I started working about a year ago at Fifth Hammer and started managing the tap room about 6 months ago. And we have a very large tap room space. So sometimes it's like packed out. And so many people will be like, wow, it's so cool. I didn't realize there was a brewery right here where I live, because there's a lot of new residents. And I told them there's 6 breweries and they're all within, we're kind of centrally located. I was like, within 1 mile of here, you can hit 6 breweries. And people just had no idea. There was a previous like map postcard that had, because Transmitter was in Long Island City until recently. But because so much had changed so quickly, it was just time to update that and then to build in the kind of element of gamifying it too. But I just wanted people to like to know, like when Iconic opened, they've got this amazing outdoor space, or Alewife, their brewer Keir, is doing awesome stuff. It's a little test kitchen of 1-barrel batches. People should be going over there if they're into beer and like trying all this like test stuff. So I just wanted everyone to know about it.
And you brought some great beer. So what's the first beer that we're drinking?
Mark.
So this is actually one of ours. This was canned this morning. I picked it up straight off the canning line as I was coming. So this is our Brunch Crusher. It's a tangerine pineapple sour. And yeah, we can't keep this in stock at the moment.
It's so good.
As soon as we produce it, it sells out straight away. We keep it all for our tap rooms. None of it gets wholesaled. Otherwise, it just disappears in a week.
So you canned it just for the show?
Just for the show.
I love this place. You guys are awesome. And then, you know, for you guys, Caitlin, I mean, your story is really unique. I mean, LSA Beer Project, we had Dan on a few years ago. He was a great guest. You should get him out more, Dan.
Yeah, I agree.
So he's the brewer, the founder. Tell us more about the vision. Because I first, when you guys opened, I thought of you guys as more of a Saison place. But, of course, you have IPAs, and you made the Pizzagate beer last year with Roberta's.
Yeah, so, we did start out making Saisons. And Dan always did want to implement IPAs at some point. But farmhouse ales and cool ship beers were really his passion. He made an IPA and it kind of just took over, as it does with most. Dan, that's why this year I think is so so important to us, because we really get to focus on our cool ship beers this year. It's really great. We have a great relationship with Roberta's. We also have Darkness Ventures on, which is an amber ale that we made just for Roberta's, which is really cool.
That's on tap this summer.
It's on tap right now, yeah.
At Roberta's.
I'm really looking forward to this year, because Dan studied fermentation science in Germany for 2 years. He's one of those people, when he does something, he needs to do it to its completion. So it's really great to see him in his element again. So that's why the barrel facility that we're going to be opening in the fall is really important. So we're excited.
That's great. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Pat, so you've also got a pretty good brewer there at Alewife Brew Pub.
Yeah. That Brunch Crusher was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, for real.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was epic. Keir Hamilton, he's the best, man. Scottish, like madman. He came from Six Point.
Yeah, I remember when he was brewing at the Six Point Red Oak Brewery.
He was the mad scientist over there. And he's been doing it over here at Alewife one barrel at a time, which is a luxury that we've never really had as a brewery. Usually you have to write your recipes and then instantly scale them up and hope for the best. So he's been able to make batch after batch and perfect it before it goes into production.
Yeah, I feel like I go there every like 2 weeks and there's like four new things on.
Yeah, there are variants of them as you go along, you know. He's fantastic. And I just wanted to say, like, the LIC thing is really awesome. As you know, longtime Brooklyn guy, so I'm just starting to get acquainted with Queens, but it's nice being over there all the time.
It's great, man. This is really a special day for me and seeing you guys all together. Mark, tell us a little more about this beer, because you guys have been done so much. I mean, we had Kyle on for the Beer Week show this year, so, and we know the backstory. When you guys started, you were a 20-gallon brewery. You know, you've grown a little bit. Now you've got a location in Brooklyn as well. Tell us about this beer.
So this beer, we kind of cycle through our sours. So we're For us, sours and barrel-aged are the really popular beers, or the beers that people really want to try. So we're kind of always working through sours, trying different fruits, but this was the most popular fruit combination we had. So we decided to, this was the first. I say it's the first sour we canned. I was corrected by John, our brewer, the other day that we actually did a sour one about 3 or 4 years ago. It was the first one we canned. But yeah, sours are really popular for us.
That's great. And Bruno, tell us about some of the beers that you guys are making. Because you're the newest brewery to me.
Right now we have a bunch of really cool stuff on tap at the brewery. What we brought today is a cucumber saison. So it's perfect for the hot weather, and it's really refreshing. So we like that one a lot. That's really popular at the tap room right now. We have a bunch of really good stuff on, though. We have a session IPA. We have the Green Velvet, which is double IPA, which is also very popular. We have a plum saison, a mixed berry saison, proper burial as well. So we do a lot of saisons. But we have a little bit of everything. Right now we have a imperial stout and a coconut milk stout. So we like to mix it up.
So, Matt, you're working with Chris Kuzme and Mary Isett, who made their names first as great award-winning homebrewers. Mary's a national BJCP judge. What's it like working for them? Tell them what you're learning from them.
Yeah, I learn so much from them. And, you know, we're so busy, as everyone here in this room is. But they find so much time to, like, educate and offer themselves to all of the staff, even staff who are in once a week for our busy Saturdays, get a chance to have FaceTime with them to ask questions about the brewing process. But honestly, my relationship with them just goes so far beyond the techniques that and what I'm learning about. They're just lovely people. They're lovely people to be around. They're lovely people to work for. We're having a lot of fun. Yeah.
And then you just poured one of their beers, or your beers.
Yeah.
With Hammer.
Yeah, it's our new IPA series, Sonic Architecture. This is the second installment. Yeah, that's been selling super well in the tap room. Although, I'm interested to know, like, Laszlo, you guys just opened, Iconic just opened their new space like 2 weeks ago or something. Sours in Long Island City. Crush.
Okay. Yeah.
Are your sours just going faster than ever have?
So, unfortunately, we don't have any sours yet. We haven't really messed with the kettle sours, and we want to do it right. Mm-hmm. But it's a little hard right now with the space. We are talking about taking on some additional space from one of the neighboring buildings.
I heard this rumor. I didn't know if it was public or not.
So, we wanted to maybe add something on to the yard that we have now, and then add on maybe a barrel room coming off of it.
Wow.
So, and then maybe an outdoor bar as well that'll connect to the outdoor space.
Jeez.
Kate, you got excited. I thought you were going to...
That was some good reporting, dude. Yeah.
You're good, Matt. I'm going to stay out of it.
I knew that.
No, yeah, I agree. I feel like people are really excited about sours, which makes me very happy. When people come up to the bar and ask for a sour, it's great because, I don't know, it's also... It opens people up to the more, I don't know, a more expansive like ideology of what beer is, you know, because sour ales are, yeah, we can really nerd out on that. Yeah. You well, know, and it's really cool that people are appreciating them, especially in the warm weather. People are crushing them.
It seems so local as well. If you go into Long Island, you don't get the popularity of sours out there. There's
right.
Not as many breweries out there doing it. Bars out there don't want sours. Customers don't want sours. Nope. It's amazing how localized tastes are.
Sure. Oh, totally.
Well, that was a good question, Matt, because I was also going to ask, in general, you know, you're treating your breweries as tasting rooms. You know, what's your range of styles that you're pouring? We know about IPAs. We're talking about sours. Who wants to tell us more about the range of styles they're serving?
I feel like we have a pretty, all these breweries here actually have a pretty broad range of styles.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think we would never have less than two or three IPAs on at a time.
Of course.
But I feel like whenever I go to Big Alice and I look at that big list along the top, there's always, how many beers do you have on tap?
We have 20? So we have like 12 on tap.
But you're always pouring out of bottles.
But because we have cans and bottles as well, then sometimes we have over 20 beers available. It's just with doing 5-barrel batches at a time, we can always do something different. IPAs, whilst big for us, we don't aim to carry like 3 or 4 different IPAs. And if we run low and only have one, then we're fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like we always describe ourselves kind of historically as being flavor forward, but everyone's flavor forward these days.
Yeah,
so
sure.
we try to be a little bit more flavor forward. Use as much local ingredients as possible, which is our kind of key thing that we go for. So,
you guys are pretty keyed into that farm brewery.
Yeah, definitely. We have we've got our own beehive a couple of blocks away. We use a lot of ingredients from Hellgate Farms. Yeah,
that's awesome.
As much as we can. Lots of our beers are 100% New York State. Yeah.
So you said flavor forward.
Yeah.
Is that your own term?
It was a term that was often used to describe the brewery. Kyle was never a big fan of it, but I think it describes what we did as well. Like our Kolsch is a lemongrass Kolsch, our rye is a jalapeno rye. Everything, sweet potato farmhouse, everything had a dominant flavor as part of it. But we started doing just like a straight pilsner now, straight IPA. So we kind of supply what people want, but then we're... yeah, we still like to keep true to our roots. And
this is what I like about breweries that don't have like the biggest distribution footprint, is that they don't have to serve what bars are buying at that time. They're like, you know, there's some different kinds of stuff on tap. Like we have a brown ale and a cream ale on tap right now, which is pretty unusual in this day and age, really. And that cream ale is probably my favorite thing on tap.
Yeah, we just canned a strawberry honey cream ale that we did in collaboration with Bandit Brewing.
Oh,
and that's
cool.
Been awesome.
Yeah, reaching back to neighborhood flavors, you actually sparked something in me. So what's really cool about the Cool Ship beer is that we're going to be doing. So before we even put the Cool Ship in, my brother, being the nerd that he is,
Dan Acosta.
Dan Acosta, yes.
Not just your brother.
He actually tested the air, as crazy as that sounds. He put a petri dish on top of our building and realized that there's certain microflorbs in the air. This is a predominantly Greek and Italian neighborhood, so we got a lot of yeast from the figs, which is really from the fig trees, because Italians and Greeks love those. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was really special to us, because when we do those Cool Ship beers, the temperatures that we are brewing and pick those up, which is really cool. So speaking about how flavor profiles are very specific to...
Yeah. Well, we did some, oops, not a Cool Ship thing, but yeah, for our 6-year anniversary beer, the Queen's Farmhouse, we cultured yeast off figs from a street in Astoria.
Oh, I love it.
Which was the same street that Tony Bennett grew up
it
on.
It makes it so much more unique.
Yeah, we yeah, built up the yeast over a couple of years to the point where we had them like big pitch to do
it's so special because you can't get that anywhere else.
We have drugs and stuff. And
Matt, I didn't hear what you said.
I was asking if they had a yeast lab. They were building that culture up for years. That's
crazy. We just built it up, and we used it for occasional beers. We built it up, kept re-fermenting it up. And
Do you have a name for your yeast?
We actually sent it off to the yeast lab.
Is that allowed to name it? You know,
we sent it off to get tested to find out what it was. And I might be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure it was the same yeast they used for Saison Dupont.
Really? Yeah. That you found naturally?
Yeah, that we just found ourselves.
That's crazy.
Bouncing around.
I know, for real.
I have a buddy that used to just make a wort and stick it on his fire escape in Park Slope.
And that's like Saison Dupont too?
Yep, for Max.
That's the secret now. Everything's like Saison Dupont if you leave it out. Maybe that's the universal truth. So you let the cat out of the bag, Mark.
Yeah, you know, people, as a common misconception, people think that, you know, there's nothing flavorful in our air because we live in the city, but it's not true.
Great. And now the next beer. So Iconic. Laszlo, tell us about this beer, because I haven't had Iconic in a couple of years, and it's pretty good.
It's tasty.
Yeah, the cucumber saison. We made it over, so it actually has limes and cucumbers in it. But we made it over the course of a couple years. And honestly, when they first made it, it was probably my least favorite beer. So I spent years fighting the brewer to not make it, and now it's probably my favorite beer. So there you go. It took a couple of shots, and I think we got it right this time.
What's the style? It's quite like amber looking.
I would say it probably has a nice amount of, I would say it probably has a nice amount of Pilsner malt in it. I'm not sure what else it has in it, but,
what changed? You were the beer.
I think it was the beer.
That's a good point. You know, it's funny because when I first reported to me, it was out of a growler. There's no label on it. And I was like, wow, that smell is really great.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was cucumber, and it does kind of seem like a pils.
Yeah, early on it was a little more of a goza, and it developed into just a saison.
I would say, okay, let's talk about gozas. I'm not really a fan of lime gozas. I'm not really a fan of using goza as a vehicle for just dumping flavors for sour beers. To me, goza is like classic and pure, maybe a little sour, you know, but it's like the German beer. So who else has a pet peeve like that, or who wants to? I'm just happy that you guys made your Pilsner-based cucumber.
Sure.
Well, I just went to Portland for a week, and had so many amazing West Coast bitter IPAs. And I was like, oh, man, I really want to have some more of those. And this one we just had from LIC is super, super tasty.
Should we pour that next one, too?
There's still some in there.
All right. So let's we're just going to take a short break. We'll be back in a minute on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Brooklyn Botanic Garden, a stunning 52-acre garden in the heart of Brooklyn featuring spectacular plant displays year-round. Mark your calendars for Saturday, September 28th, when the Chili Pepper Festival returns to Brooklyn Botanic Garden. At this all-day celebration of all things hot and spicy, indulge in sizzling bites from 40 food artisans. Enjoy spicy food demonstrations, foodie-friendly tours and talks, activities for kids, and live performances by musicians and artists around the garden. Stay through the evening for a special concert that brings New Orleans to Brooklyn. Festival goers can jam out to the legendary New Orleans musicians John Papa Gross, Walter Wolfman Washington, and New Orleans Queen of Soul, Irma Thomas. Joining the fun will be Big Chief Monk Boudreau, bringing the traditions of the Mardi Gras Indians to the heart of Brooklyn. Learn more about Brooklyn Botanic Garden at bbg.org.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Check us out, heritageradionetwork.org. When you listen to the show, it's going to be August, but this is the 10th anniversary of Heritage Radio Network. There's a special Hall of Fame every month. There's announcements. Some of our favorite guests, including Matthias of Be United and Patrick Rue from the brewery, have been selected to the Hall of Fame. All right, guys, we've got the Long Island City Brewery Trail crew here, six breweries from Long Island City. And, Caton, you tell us about your West Coast IPA from LIC Beer Project.
Yeah, so this is exciting.
So like eating and talking, yeah, and sorry. You've been here for like 2 hours already, so.
I apologize. So obviously, like, the haze craze is a thing. You know, everyone's making New England-style IPAs, and it was really refreshing to make one of these, let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's really nice to get that resiny, piney, you know, bitter thing back in an IPA. It was actually pretty refreshing, but what sparked it was our GM, Thomas, was actually unfortunately going back to California. So we decided to make a beer for him. And, you know, what a better way to send him off with a West Coast IPA.
And Matt, before the break, what did you say the style that you were wishing for?
Yeah, this is what she's talking about, the West Coast IPA. I mean, I don't know how well it would sell in our tap rooms necessarily. I mean, now you will be
selling
able to,
pretty well, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, I was sitting outside in Portland, 20% humidity, highs of 80 degrees. I just want to live in Portland next summer. just like a super bitter, like grapefruity, piney IPA was like such a change of pace. And it was kind of lovely.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised how well it sold. But it makes sense because, you know, we have a lot of people. We have a lot of travelers. We have a lot of people that are traveling. And not everyone likes the, you know, New England style IPA. Some people do like that traditional, like, West Coast piney bitter IPA.
Pat, one thing. Alewife. Tell us, are you making IPAs? And tell us what kind of IPAs you're making.
Yeah, we got IPAs for days, dude. You know, it's an IPA world we're living in.
Well, we're talking IPAs. Yeah, so I want to hear about your IPA.
Yeah, interestingly, I brought another beer. We cracked the other one, but I brought a beer that we made called Dimensional Observer, which is a New England IPA, which is an example of the more modern, like, kind of hazy, juicy IPA, but we used all the old school dank hops like Calypso and El Dorado and
Love
Amarillo.
Dorado.
So it's got kind of both things going on. And I find this a lot in Kira's beers, like his IPAs. They have this kind of modern, juicy thing up front, and then they finish nice and dry.
So let's go to Matt, Mark. What's the line, Kate, between this, the bitter old school West Coast IPA and the new hazy IPA? Why do they taste different?
Well,
super big focus on dry hopping, less of a focus on hopping in the kettle where you're going to get more bitterness, and then new school hops. I mean, Fifth Hammer, we're like We're new, so we're trying to secure hop contracts for like the future. So we're like working on. There's some beers that we put out before, and everyone's like, "Oh, bring back Troublesome Jellyfish, bring back Llama Drama," and we're like, "We can't. We you know we need to secure these freaking ingredients."
Yeah, well, so this year with opening the new tap room, we've exceeded all of our hop contracts. So we're just looking at spot at the moment, but next year we're doing like bigger contracts to try and keep all the hops that we need for our IPAs.
Yeah, we're going out to harvest this year to do that.
That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, like the difference between, but I think, yeah, the hops, the yeast are like the biggest like difference, the process.
To me, it's always like your palate resets and you get used to things.
Sure.
So I kind of stopped drinking West Coast IPAs, but now that I'm drinking this, so it's the LIC Beer Project. What's the name of this beer?
It's called Back to Cali.
Back to Cali. I'm like digging it.
Yeah.
Right? It tastes like summer, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
It's so refreshing. Yeah. It's different yeast, similar hops, but the process of it is a bit different, and how you're brewing it. The malt bill is a bit different.
So how do you brewers like Dan, I really want to get Dan on the air. Dan Acosta from LIC Beer Project.
I wish
you
could make it today, yeah.
You know, how does he approach brewing an IPA? If he wants to be doing sour beers and cool ships, is he doing a cool ship IPA?
No. but...
You'd have to age the hops for a year in a stable to do that.
Yeah, which we do have like really old hops. I don't know what he's scheming up with those, but they smell like awful.
Maybe he'll pickle them. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's great. And so is it like a family business, or are you just working for your brother?
Yeah, no. So I mean, I started brewing. In the beginning, it was just me and him. And I actually went to Siebel Institute just like he did. I did not do the master program. I had some duties here, but then I quickly figured out that being behind the scenes really wasn't for me. So he put me up front and I started doing tap house managing. I've done sales. I've been on the truck. I've literally done it all. but now I'm just the brand ambassador. So I travel a lot, speak the good word of LIC.
So where are you guys being sold? Are you sold out of state? Tell us some of your markets that you're going to.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm traveling everywhere. I mean, internationally, I'm going to the West Coast at the end of this month.
Give us a few examples. Festivals, sales calls.
Yeah, we've been
where
doing,
are some places you've been?
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of festivals, mainly.
Which ones?
Going to Copenhagen, which Mickler just did. I'm going to San Diego for Modern Times, their Festival of Dankness. We also went to Festival of Funk in the beginning of the summer. We're going to Japan for another Mickler festival. I was just in Alaska, Anchorage, for Anchorage Brewing Festival. So, yeah, we've been getting around, which is really great.
And so when I'm coming on the LIC Brewery Trail, why should I go to LIC Beer Project? What's the experience like there?
So the experience is really lovely. Dan wanted people to feel very comfortable in the tap room, and I think that he executed that pretty well. You know, all the staff members, it's really big to us that our staff members are very educated about the beer, especially ours, but beer in general. And also customer service is huge with us. We really want people to have a good experience, and we want people to feel special. So I think our staff is incredible. Also, the cool ship is really cool. We're the first and only brewery in New York City to have one, and it's a really cool thing to see, especially if people come during the fall. We're usually brewing in it, and there's a big open window, and you can see it, and it's a really cool, unique thing that we have.
You're not.
I was a big fan of them right from the beginning. I've had their sticker on my wallet ever since they opened. I want to give a shout out actually to the front of house staff for all six of the breweries here. Just excellent people, because I do bop around a lot and drink at all the breweries, and they're just so excellent. Just great places to be.
It's great. Now let's give a shout out to Mark Hurst, because Mark, I met you a few years ago. You were taking the BJCP class.
Yeah, it was probably
my old place, Jimmy's number 43.
4 years ago, maybe. Jimmy's where I was taking the class.
So what's your journey in the industry? Were you in the industry then when you took the class?
No, not at all. So I moved here from England 5 years ago. All my background was in business and retail analytics. I moved over here. I was doing contracts at Victoria's Secret, Tommy Hilfiger, similar sort of stuff I used to do, all demand planning.
What do you see as underwear? That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I liked it.
But, you know, it's...
Yeah, they were great places to work, but I was just slowly realizing that whilst I thought I was maybe fed up of London and we moved here, it was probably I was fed up of my career. So I started just... I picked up some taproom shifts at... initially the Baroness Bar and then Big Alice. It grew from there. I was doing taproom, then taproom's manager, operations manager, now sales and operations. I now involved a lot of us here.
And you mentioned the Baroness. So when I go to LIC, besides the six breweries, there's a few really good beer bars that I should check out. Where should I go?
Definitely the Baroness is a great place. So when we moved here, we lived opposite the Baroness. So Kyle, the owner, lived in the same building as me. And I was kind of into beer before I moved here, but it was getting to know him and understanding all these new styles I'd never heard of that really got me into beer. And then I... took the BJCP class, met you at Jimmy's, now Cicerone, and yeah.
And for the path of like someone wanting to get in the industry, how did you find out about the BJCP class? Why did you take it?
It was just looking for something to learn more about beer. I didn't work in the industry. I saw it as something that may help to at least make contacts, get to know people. For bar staff around all the breweries, knowing about beer styles is a big thing, and... having that experience to draw on definitely helped.
Great.
Dan Bronson of Single Cut said to me, I worked there for a little while, he said, you know, beer is like a knowledge-based hobby. Yeah. And there's cachet in knowing stuff. And the more you learn, the more I've learned, the more I've appreciated and the more fun that I've had. So there's a lot to learn, too.
I agree with that. I think it's really cool for consumers to start seeing that too. I think that's why it's so important to have your staff really know what they're talking about, because it educates people. You know, like we're in it. You know, we work in these industries. We work in the industry and you know, we're submersed in it. But these consumers, not everyone really is, you know, that fascinated with it. Your average consumer isn't. But it's really cool to like... spread that, you know, because beer is interesting. It's fun and it's delicious.
So I'm like 25. I had a job. I've been to school, but I want to get into working. I want to work at a brewery tap room in Long Island City. What do you recommend I do first? Other than washing kegs.
Take the trail, probably.
Yeah. There you go. Boom, boom.
Okay, so let's go through the trail. Yeah. Where should I go first? And tell me some things I'll learn. So I want to learn about beer. I want to learn how to work.
I think you should start at Alewife. You got to start at either Alewife or LIC Beer Project. But at Alewife, you can get food, which means you're going to be ready.
So then, Pat, what am I going to learn there? What am I going to learn at Alewife Brew Pub?
Well, the experience that you could have if you were there at the right time is you could watch Cure actually brew a beer, because there's a little window similar to the one that we're sitting here in at Roberto's, where you can actually just walk up and watch everything that he's doing. And he's accessible, too. Like, he'll talk to you. We do have food. The food is great. It's kind of like a Irish-Mexican mashup. And we have an awesome outdoor deck that you can hang out on.
And food's an important part. And then what's next? What's the next
thing? I was at Alewife on Saturday, and you can see in the back of the brew house is a box of PG tips. And I was like, you can tell that's a British person that's running this brew house.
And so, what's the next stop, Matt?
Up next is Rockaway. And we should say something, because Ethan...
You could be Rockaway.
One of the brewers from Rockaway was going to be here today. But they got a canning line recently. And they're just super busy with the canning line today, and it took more time than they were anticipating. Rockaway feels to me, I wonder if they would agree with this, it feels to me like a surf bar. It feels to me like I'm at an ocean. It feels to me like I'm at Rockaway, like I'm in Rockaway in Queens at a surf bar. It's like super casual. They've got a big list that rotates a lot. Their staff is excellent. To me, it's like one of like the cooler spots in Long Island City.
Okay, then the next spot.
Next spot would be Fifth Hammer. Fifth Hammer is a big tap room. hopefully, I think at Fifth Hammer, you should get a few short pours of sours. We usually have two or three sours on at a time. I think that's a fun thing to do there. And catch me, Matt, in the tap room. You can ask for me. I like to be known. Or even Chris or Mary, because we are always taking people in. If someone starts peeking in the back or they bring out their camera to take a picture or someone's like pointing out to their son, like, oh, you know what that machine does? We'll bring him back and just like give him the whole tour, you know?
Great. Next up.
You could double it up with Gutter, which is right next door. And they support a lot of our breweries.
That's another great place to drink. So Gutter is the bowling alley beer bar?
Yep.
Yeah, second location of the Williamsburg location, and they super support all the
great breweries. All right, this is good. Keep going.
And then you could either stop by Iconic, and before or afterwards, you could probably stop by John Brown's, too, which is right around the corner from
John Brown's Smokehouse.
Potentially the best beer lineup of any beer bar in the neighborhood.
And they just opened a second location, a little bit closer to us, Mothership.
So there's barbecue in Long Island City. John Brown's Smokehouse and Mothership.
Yeah, it's meat good barbecue, company, too. Right? Yeah.
And you can hang out in the...
Yeah. So what am I going to learn at Iconic? I mean, there's like outdoor space. It's a destination.
Yeah, well, we recently got AC inside, so that's nice, too, if you want to hang out inside, or you could hang out outside on the picnic table.
And do you... So I know you're the co-founder, co-owner with Bruno. So tell me the jobs you do.
Yeah.
What's the other owner's name?
So Sam is the head brewer, Sam Bosrock. Bruno Daddy... is the other owner, and
Bruno used to ride his bike around and deliver beer on his bicycle.
He delivered me Sixtles at Oliver's in Astoria, holding a Sixtle on a bicycle.
So I want to know what you do, because there's things you do and things you definitely don't do.
So for the most part, I mean, I've actually been the first full time employee at Iconic. I've been there full time.
And it's
now.
Icon, like ICONYC.
Yeah, it's Iconic, spelled ICONYC. So I've been there for almost 3 years now. I opened the first tap room in Astoria. I opened this new location. I found this new location in Long Island City. I ran all the construction, and otherwise I'm delivering kegs, picking up kegs, cleaning kegs. I'm helping transfer. I pretty much do everything.
I used to ride my bike home from Fifth Hammer, and I would go by their quote-unquote beer garden at the time, and it just looked like hell. Oh, I mean, there was old stumps. I feel like there was a car hood poking out of the ground.
Yeah, when we took the space, there was actually...
It looks so good now.
There was a broken-down limousine from the 70s in the yard, and there was... the yard was a disaster, and it was a disaster up until, 3 weeks before we opened. And so when Matt came by on his bicycle, I was like, yeah, we're about, a couple weeks out. He was like, really?
And how did Matt get you guys signed up for the brewery trail?
I mean,
he just came around and said, let's do it?
Yeah. I mean, we've been in touch with everybody all the way through construction. And, we definitely thought we'd open sooner than we did. And we're glad we finally opened. But, everybody's been awesome. It was great. It was great, opening and having everybody come by. Everybody brought beers by. It was a super cool experience.
Long Island City is the last kind of industrial warehouse area in New York City that's close to Manhattan.
Wow. Yeah, that might be the case.
I mean, I've been there. I have a storage facility there. I walk. Murray's Cheese has their warehouse there.
I know.
I've walked the streets of Long Island City, my friends.
There's a lot of cool stuff there, man. And the Queens doesn't have as much like beer bar per square mile as Brooklyn. I mean, Brooklyn's such an amazing beer borough. So I feel like for me, I've lived in Queens for 12 years now. I just celebrate the beer spots so much harder.
This is exciting. I mean, really, for years it was like there was Big Alice, Rockaway, and at the time Transmitter. I remember. So this is exciting news, Long Island City Brewery Trail. And the last beer, Pat.
This is an Alewife beer called Alien Technology. It's a Russian Imperial Stout that we made with cold brewed coffee from our neighbors at Sweet Leaf over there in LIC.
That's why
I brought it today, because the locality.
Let's make a toast to different beer styles, because I'm glad we tasted. Let's recap all the beers we tasted, just so we know. Matt, why don't you recap them? Because this, to me, was my Long Island City Brewery Trail tour, and it's third. It's a Tuesday at 3:30.
So. Yeah, we just did the tour right here. We had Sonic Architecture IPA from Fifth Hammer. Back to Cali from LIC Beer
Project. Nice West Coast IPA.
Alien Technology from Alewife. Brunch Crusher from Iconic, from Big Alice. And what's the Cucumber Saison called?
Cucumber Saison.
Cucumber Saison.
We want people to know what they're drinking.
And? You showing off, Kate?
We have one more that we didn't drink yet.
Well, right. Let's drink that. What is that one?
It's one of our kettle sours. It's a peach and vanilla sour ale. It's really nice.
Wow.
By the way, we should continue the tour. Up next after Iconic is going to be Big Alice. So what do we learn there?
Yeah, so Big Alice, you're going to get a great intimate experience where one of the smaller, if not the smallest tap room in the area. You'll be sat amongst the fermenters. We've got great bar staff there, especially at the weekends.
You'll sit within.
Yeah, you're right. Room. You're right in the brewery when you're there. So we have very limited space. If you go to Brooklyn, it's very different. We have a lot more space there, but
at Industry City.
The original space is compact. I'm always amazed at how many people we fit in there.
It's crazy.
So I think in like 2 hours I can make the whole trip, Matt?
Totally. It's a 2 hour walk. It's a 2 mile walk. So as long as you want to, as many drinks as you want to have, and as long as it takes you to walk 2 miles.
And what do I get at the end? So this is a nice card. This is the reward is take the Long Island City Brewery Trail now. This should be your whole fall plan. You can do this like 10 times.
Please. I really want all the listeners to come to Long Island City and hit all six of them. You could do, if you're not like a huge drinker, come and do half of it. Do another half a month later. There's no time restriction on the card.
But if I get the card stamped, what's my prize at the end?
You get this sweet taster glass. Branded with LIC
Brewery. So I can do this in any order.
That's right.
And then I get the glass on the spot.
You get the glass on the spot.
I don't have to wait, mail away or something.
You're not entered to win a raffle. You're not.
I don't have to join Amazon Prime to get the damn prize, right?
Yeah. You're not joining Lyft in order to receive a prize. It's very, very simple.
This is very cool. I love this. This is in the spirit of good Brazil bars and, you know, real hospitality and customer service. And great job, guys. Toast to all of you. Anyone want a last question or final statement? Anybody?
I want to take this chance to thank Matt for organizing this. Like you said, we're all very busy.
Thank you, Matt.
And he's gone the extra mile to get this done and really push it through. So
heck yeah.
We're all very thankful for that.
Matt, one day I want you to read the Declaration of Independence on air. That would be another show.
What a voice.
I was saying the same thing before. He's got a voice made for radio. As do you, Jim.
And Matt's a TV star. And last one, we had another guest in the room, another industry guy. Introduce yourself, Andres, because you've been...
I'm Andres Pacheco. I'm just back here in the corner.
Where do you work?
I'm at Snowdonia on 35th Avenue, 32nd Street in Queens.
What is that place?
It's the only Welsh kitchen in New York.
So it's in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, okay.
We're pouring one of the Rockaways, the Rockaway ESB right now, and it just flies.
And are you a chef too?
I do a little bit of everything down there.
And you have a little Basque influence in you.
I'm afraid so.
Yeah. So this is quite Long Island City. This is the place. I have to say, like I said. There's a lot of talk about development, but it is developing and it's good for businesses. There's a lot of new buildings, a lot of new residents. And only 10 years ago, I don't think I'd ever been to Long Island City other than for the PS1, mm-hmm. the MoMA Museum.
Yeah, sure.
So there's a lot of interesting things going on there. One more highlight.
I got one last thing. I don't know if anybody's going to be up in Troy this weekend for Troy Beer Week.
Yeah.
I'm going to be DJing, DJ Dirty Santa.
Yeah.
Sloop on a boat.
I did not know you were a DJ.
Sloop on a
sloop? Yeah, I'm doing a sloop on a boat. I'll be up top. God, spinning records, vinyl only.
Can we go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
And then by the time we air this, it probably will happen. But keep up with at DJ Dirty Santa on Instagram. That's Pat. But Pat, you know, you are a huge, let's give a shout out to Pat, huge to me figure in New York City craft beer. Yeah, you worked
I did have one more thing to mention. Sorry to cut you off. No. But on Friday night up in Troy at The Rock, you may remember the epic party that we did at the gate. So Dave from The Rock is going to emulate the party that we did.
So the OG craft beer guys.
The OG craft beer party, but with all the bars from up in the Albany, Troy area.
Cool.
So if you're in town, please come by.
Rare Form Brewery.
Yeah.
The Rock.
Rare Form Thin Man.
But you look them up. Pat Fondler, DJ Dirty Santa, Alewife Brewing. One of our great beer guys. The Gate for many years, another great beer bar in Brooklyn. But hey, this Long Island City, you guys did a great job. Thank you so much for joining me here. One more time,
thanks
everybody.
Thanks for having us, Jimmy.
Say their name and brewery, and let's go around the room.
So I'm Matt Archambault from Fifth Hammer Brewing Company.
Archambault, that's it.
Yeah. It's Caitlin Acosta from LAC Beer Project.
Pat Fondiller, Alewife Brewing Company.
DJ Dirty Santa.
Mark Hurst, Big Alice Brewing Company.
Sells underwear on the side.
Laszlo Fedor from Iconic Brewing Company.
You guys are great. And Ethan from Rockaway couldn't make it, but we talked about you. So the LIC Brewery Trail, thanks so much for putting this together, Matt. Thank you so much.
Hell yeah.
Great. Shout out to our crew, producer Justin Kennedy, assistant producer Aaliyah Papes, engineer Matt Patterson. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo!
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.